chose the story of Samson tonight. One of the things I got told was it was about God getting your back. And one of the things when someone's got your back is to have that strength, you know. Andy always, when anybody comes up to him and wants to have a brawl or anything, he goes, babe, just stand up because you're so big. He says they back down right away. So once you got that strength and that power and stuff in there, you get a little bit more. You feel a little bit more. It's just like when you go somewhere, you do something, and you're confident in it. If you're confident in it, you do much better than if you're not confident. If you're not confident, you're kind of like, oh, I'm not sure about this. I don't know what's going to go about. So we have to rely on that. We have to rely on that strength and that power that God gives us. He's offering it to us. He's saying just ask for it to bring it right there. And I know when we kind of go to reading stories in the Bible and looking at the Bible, a lot of times people have these things where they're just stories. They're old history things and stuff and all. Or it's rules and it's regulations and those type things. That's not what the Bible was put out there for. The Bible was put out there to be a part of us understanding things in our life, to touch us, to give us guidance, to make our life better, not to give us rules and regulations and things to follow. It's not stories just to be stories. There is a message in there. There is something that can touch us and move inside of us and move our hearts and move our lives and move us forward in a better world. We have to start looking at the Bible that way. It's not just words in a book. If we look over in Hebrews 8, chapter 8, 6 through 13. It says, the work that has been given to Jesus is much greater than the work that was given to those priests. In the same way, the new agreement that Jesus brought from God to his people is much greater than the old one. And the new agreement is based on a better promise. If there was nothing wrong with the first agreement, then there would be no need for a second agreement. But God found something wrong with the people. He said, the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will give a new agreement to the people of Israel and to the people of Judah. It will not be like the agreement that I gave to their fathers. This is the agreement I gave them when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. They did not continue following the agreement I gave them, and I turned away from them, says the Lord. This is the new agreement I will give the people of Israel. I will give this agreement in the future, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write my laws on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Never again will anyone have to teach their neighbors or their family to know the Lord. All people, the greatest and the smallest, and I will forgive the wrongs they have done, and I will not remember their sins. God called this a new agreement. So he has made the first agreement old, and anything that is old is useless and ready to disappear. There's no rules, there's no laws, there's no regulations. We have the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit here with us to guide us, to guard us, to direct us, to lead us, to give us happiness in our lives and stuff. We can't be looking at these things. We can't be looking at Samson, that it was a guy who had a problem with women, and Lordy be, did he have a problem with women. Woo! He seemed to always want to pick the worst and the best. The worst. The worst out of the whole group. He never wanted one that came out of his neighborhood. He wanted to go over with those Philistine women because, woo, baby, they were nice looking, let me tell you. When it starts out earlier in the chapter, he goes over there and he sees this Philistine woman. And man, you know, sometimes you just see somebody. You see that man, and he's across the pool, and he has on that Speedo with that rainbow thing, and you think, that's the man I'm going to marry. That's how I met Andy, was at a pool party with the Speedo thing. He didn't know what was coming to him, but I jumped to that pool and drowned him until he said yes. Or maybe it's your sweet little lady that you see there, and she just wears flannel the right way and everything, so, and has some lipstick on. You just don't know. You just know it. You see it. You want it. You got to have it and stuff. And that's how Samson was. And he came back and he told his dad, I got to have this woman. I got to have her. I got to have her. Got to have her. So then he's going over to visit her, and a lion jumps out and everything, and he kills the lion and comes back later that he's going back, and there's honey inside of the lion, and he takes and he eats it. And when he gets to there, he meets all these guys, and they're kind of hanging around doing the guy thing and this and that. And he comes up and he says, let me tell you a riddle. Samson said to them, if you can give me the answer within 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they couldn't come up with the answer. But what did they know to do? Let's get the woman involved. Now, it's not just women, because trust me, I'm a good nagger. She nagged, and she nagged, and she nagged, and she nagged. You don't love me. If you loved me, you'd tell me the answer. He said, I haven't even told my mother and father the answer. But if you loved me, you'd tell me the answer. You don't even care for me. There's somebody else, isn't there? And it went on, and it went on, and it went on, and went on, until he finally broke, and he told her. And what does she go? She goes and tells the guys. Problem solved. So they're able to come back. And they said, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, you got it from my wife. I know what you did. You coaxed her to get to me, and you did it. So he went out, and he killed some other people to collect the clothes and collect the linen and to give to them. Does sometimes you feel like that happens to you? Like you're going along, and you're trying hard and stuff, and someone just comes, and they take from you? They did something wrong to get from you, to take something from you, to take what was yours, what you deserved. You've been working hard. You've been doing all these projects at work and stuff. And all of a sudden, whoosh, here comes Joe Schmo right behind, taking credit for it, working it out, doing those things and stuff. Happens to us in everyday life. It's part of the world. It's part of the way. It's part of the way things go. And what does it do? I get mad. I get so mad. Because it can be infuriating when you feel like I've done something, I've put something out there. And maybe someone doesn't give you the credit or the respect or the honor. And it can make you mad. And that's what Samson did, was he got mad. And I'm not saying that's the way you need to go, because Jesus says turn the other cheek and stuff. And usually when you get mad and you react and you try to take revenge, it doesn't always work out so good. Every time I've ever done it, I just look like a jerk in the end. It totally comes back to bite me and stuff. It's better to leave it alone, to leave it for God to handle, to leave it to those points and those things. So the dad to the woman that had told on him, she gets given away to his friend. So it made Samson so much happier, you know, to know that she was gone and given to one of the guys that he already had to give everything else to. And at that point in time, what Samson says is, I have the right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. So he sent out and caught 300 foxes and tied their tails to tails in pairs. Then he fastened a torch to every pair of the tails and lit the torches and let the foxes loose into the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and the standing grain together with the vineyards and the olive groves. You know, the Philistines were just happy as peach pie over that. They just couldn't wait to come up and give Samson a little hug and say, thank you for burning up everything we have. It's been great. So at this point in time, the Philistines were over the Israelites. And there's a point in the thing of why these things were going and why Samson was the way he was and stuff. You know, sometimes we think that we have a lot of control. Control over people, control over situations, control over things. And we really got to look back and we got to realize God has control. God has the point. God has the situation. We're just living the life and going along. God's driving us in the way we need to go and stuff. Carmen shared with me a little bit earlier and stuff. Jessica, who we've been praying for and praying for and praying for, just has not gotten any better. And she's gotten to a point where she's ready to go home. She's tired. She's weak. You know, she's ready to take that transition. And for those close to her, it's not as easy. And I understand. It's not easy. It's not easy to let go and to feel like, okay, you know, it needs to go on. This is the way it needs to be. This is the thing. I mean, even though I know with someone, there's an afterlife for them. There's a better place for them to go. There's a home and stuff. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that it doesn't touch us. Jesus, even when he went to Lazarus, he hurt. He felt the pain that we feel. He understands. He knows. But we have to have the strength and the faith and the ability to say, I'm going to go on. I'm going to make the other step. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to stop here. I'm not going to wallow. I'm not going to have pity. I'm not going to blow up the balloons for the pity party. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to make the steps. And how do I make the steps? I ask God for strength. God is the one who pulls us forward. We have no strength. We have weakness is what we have. God is our strength. And sometimes people think that we're foolish by these things, that we're foolish by our faith in those things, because they don't understand. They haven't been touched. They haven't felt the strength of God that can come over you and move you on to that next step when you don't think, I can make another step. When you think, I don't want to get out of the house. I want to cover up my head and forget about my troubles and the things that are going on and not have to face it. God rips the sheet down and says, take the step. I'm with you. You can do it. You can accomplish it. You can make it. And so after she's gone, later on, Samson decides to go back into the same city, meets a cute little prostitute, decides he's going to spend the night with her. And again, the Philistines find out that he's there. And they're going to capture him just as he's getting ready to leave in the morning. And capture him and tie him up and everything. But what happens? In the middle of the night, he leaves. He knows he needs to leave before the morning comes. And before they even know what happened, he's ripped the doors of the city off and carried them down the street just to show him how much of a man he is. That's the other important thing that all of us need to do and look from this story. We have to listen. And sometimes I tell you, it is hard to listen. Sometimes I'm so busy praying and so loud about my prayer that I can't hear what God's having to say back to me. Sometimes we have to be quiet to feel the Spirit to come upon us, to listen what the Spirit has to say, and to trust and follow it, because sometimes it's not what I wanted to hear. Sometimes when he answers me, I'm kind of saying, I was really expecting a different answer. That's not what I was asking for. So, yeah, it's not what we're asking for. It's what we're supposed to, we need to hear. Our purpose here isn't for us. Our purpose here is for God. And we cannot know what his purpose is if we don't listen to him. There is no way to move forward, to move down the path and move with the Spirit if you're not willing to listen to what the Spirit has to say to you. So then a little bit later, who does he meet but Delilah? Another little hottie. I mean, those Philistines, they knew how to pop out the pretties. And he just can't resist her. I mean, she's, oh, there's nobody like Delilah. Everybody knew Delilah was great and wonderful and stuff. But you know what? He kind of learned his lesson from the first one. When she starts nagging, he just tells her a story, a fib, just to get her off the back. Any of you people who have spouses, you've ever done that? Or am I the only one? Yeah. You're right, babe. You're right. I don't know what I was thinking, but you're absolutely right. It's life. It's things that go on. It's part of having a relationship and stuff. In some ways, it reminds me of a story. An old woman, she's riding on the train and stuff, and the guy's sitting across from her, and she leans forward, and she says, "Are you a Jew?" And the guy looks back, and he says, "No, ma'am, I'm not a Jew." She goes, "I thought maybe you were a Jew. Are you sure you're not a Jew?" "No, ma'am, I'm not a Jew." And it goes on and on for the whole train ride. And after about 30 minutes, the guy finally says, he goes, "Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, you're right. I am a Jew." She goes, "Funny, you don't look like one." Sometimes someone can nag us into something that we don't want to do, and we need to make sure that we have the strength and the ability not to get pushed into things, to not be pushed into something that we don't want to do. Sometimes it can be done through anger. We get so mad and angry at something, we think we need to retaliate, we need to put something forward and stuff. But we can feel that spirit in us tugging at us saying, "That's not it, that's not right, that's not right, let's hold back." Sometimes we want to be mad because we didn't get what we wanted. And what's that spirit doing? It's tugging us, "That's not right, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right." We have to listen to the Spirit. We can't just be going along on our own selves because we fail. We are failures without God in our life. So he finally gives in. He tells her what his weakness is. They come, they cut his hair, they humiliate him, take him down to the temple, and they're putting him there. And when he gets there, it's not that he prays, "God, just take down the temple and destroy these people who've humiliated, who've done these things to me and stuff." He understands and knows he has to put work towards it. He needed to know where the pillars were. Sometimes we need to remember that. We need to know where the pillars are. What's the next step I need to take? Where do I need to go from here? And we have to take the step. Just sitting at home and praying does nothing. When God tells you to open the door, you have to open the door. When he tells you to open the window, you have to open the window. When he tells you to get in the car, you have to get in the car. When he tells you to stop and pray for somebody, you have to stop and pray for him. When he says that person needs to eat, ask him if they need food. You need to do it. You can't just go along thinking that I'm just going to pray and everything's going to be done for me. I don't have to worry about anything. The picnic would have been the feeding today would have been no success whatsoever if you wouldn't have had all those people to work. Correct, Andy? If everybody would have just sat home and prayed, nobody would have been fed, nobody would have been clothed. So there's work to be done. You can't just sit back and say, "I'm not doing anything." You have to be willing to put forth the effort and the work, and you get blessed. That's the amazing and wonderful thing about it. Sometimes things can be crazy and going. For me, work's just been crazy right now, working 12 and 14-hour days trying to get things done for a trade show and stuff. And when it comes to the end, it'll be done, and that's all I get. But when you do something and you touch people, and I've gone to the homeless and the feeding and stuff, and one day, man, I felt bad. I didn't even want to go. And Andy was pushing me, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." And I got there, and my legs hurt, and I just had a headache and everything. But after it got started, and the first person who came up and gave me a hug and said, "This was a blessing to me. I appreciate it so much," nothing hurt at that point on. It was like I was able to go for the whole time without feeling anything. Then when we got in the car, I became a big crybaby again and stuff. But he can change things in you. He can make things in you. He can do things in you. We watched a documentary today. I highly recommend it if anyone's into documentaries, but it's called The Machine Gun Preacher. who's a man who went over to Sudan, and his whole mission that he had been called to by God was to rescue these children who had been kidnapped and to take them to an orphanage where they could be cared for, they could be fed, they could get medical treatments and all things. And to do it, he had to shoot people, he had to go into guns, he had to go into warfare. And the amazing thing about it is this man before, he was a gangster, he was a biker, he was a drug addict, he was running drugs, he was doing this, he had killed people. Just the most horrible, horrific person you could think, and people were afraid of him. People didn't even want to see him driving into town because they were that afraid of him. And all it took was his wife started going to church, and she asked him to go to church one night with her. And he went there, and he sat, and she said he sweated, and he shook, and he cried. And the next night, he went back for the altar call. And after he got done with that, the man that was there came and gave a prophecy to him and said, you're going to go to Africa, and you're going to go to war. And his thought is, you know, a Christian, why am I going to be going to war? I don't have no plans to go to Africa, this or that and stuff. Everything changed. And I'm inspired by him so much because he gave up everything here. He gave up his boats. He gave up his house. His wife was ready to leave him. His daughter hated him. He had lost his son. All these things. But he was focused because he knew what the mission was that God had given him. It was written upon his heart. And he continued to ask God for the strength to continue on with that mission. Whatever it was, whatever he needed to go, he trusted in him and he believed in him. 1 Peter 4:11 says to us, if your gift is speaking, your words should be like the words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives. Then it is God who will be praised in everything through Jesus Christ. Power and glories belong to him forever and ever. Amen. Suffering as a follower of Christ, least important, will know me. I hate to break the news to everybody, but we're going to suffer. Things aren't always going to go as smooth as we want. Up at camp, I'm sure there's things that happen, troubles, tragedies, all of a sudden this and that. And you think, man, I'm trying to do something good here. You know, give us a break. It happens all the time. That's life. That's part of it. But when the Spirit is calling you, you don't get discouraged. You go on. You make the next step. You say, okay, that trouble came. We're going to solve it this way. Let's go to the next. 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 Having faith is not giving up. Having faith is believing that God has your back and you're going to get to the next spot. You're going to get to the next standard. You're going to move forward. You're not going to fall back. He's not going to let you down. He's there for you. That is strength. That is strength in believing in the Spirit. The Spirit is what guides us and leads us. Amen. We need to trust and believe and have faith. Have faith in the Spirit that it's going to speak to you. It's going to guide you. It's going to lead you in the right direction, and you're going to have success with it. Success through the Spirit is the most joyous thing you can have. So I leave you all here tonight. I don't know how short or long I was because I didn't even time it. We're good? Good. That's good. So the Holy Spirit felt like we should be left perfectly. So I want you to leave here tonight knowing that through God, you have strength, you have power, you have the ability to accomplish what you need to accomplish for God. Just believe and have faith. Thank you.